Some of the lads I had were court-bred, and full of blood pride until I sweated it out of them. But Garrus followed him around and followed him around, and in sheer self-defense, Kiri began to teach him what I could not. He looked down the table. I suppose you told her about Harkonask Pass. Yes, my Liam. What I could remember. Garrus, I'd wager you remember every miserable step of that trail. I do, save where the knock on my head shook it loose. That's the trip that changed you, I believe, though you had grown so much that summer already. I had? Pox was sure Garrus hadn't meant to say that aloud, or in such a tone. Indeed, yes. Boys don't always know when they're changing, Garrus, but I saw it. You surprised me all that summer, and so less in the crisis than you might have supposed. Pox noticed that Garrus sat a bit straighter, with a curious expression. Liam went on. I had planned to ask your father if you could stay with me until you were ready for the Knights of Fork. After Harkonask, of course, your father insisted that you come away at once. Sir, I always thought you sent me away. I thought, good heavens, no. Where did you get that idea? Didn't he tell you? Liam shook his head. I wish I'd known. No, he thought it was too risky, letting you fight in Arrhenius anymore. I'd have been glad to have you. He said that, Garrus said, but I didn't believe him. My brothers saw combat as squires, after all. I thought you had finally tired of me. He stopped short, embarrassed, and stuffed meat into his mouth. It startled me, said Pox, into the silence that followed, to hear Garrus speak of Duke Phelan as your squire. I think I knew it. The Duke mentioned it this winter, but it didn't seem real to me. I never imagined him anywhere but in his own place or in Arrhenius with a company. It's always hard, said Liam, to realize that older people have had other lives before you met them. I remember an elf I knew once, who told me one rainy afternoon about seeing my grandmother picking flowers as a child. I was never able to relax with him after that. He sipped his ale, even though he said she was beautiful. Pox opened her mouth and shuddered again. Twice, she had tried to get Liam talking about the young Phelan, as a safe topic they both knew, and twice, he had evaded it neatly. She looked sideways at Estelle, to find a worried look on that lady's face. Estelle looked quickly along the table and called to the kitchen for more sweet pies. Pox ate steadily. As soon as the meal was over, Liam and Estelle led Pox to Liam's study. She wondered if he would still hedge about, but as soon as the door was shut and they were all seated around a table, hastily cleared of map scrolls, he began. You carry the sword I gave Kiri to give to Marion at their wedding, the sword they found on her body after her death. And you tell me now that sword was forged for the prince that disappeared over 40 years ago, and that the elves concealed this from me. Is there more? Pox told him the story she had pieced together, and ended with the elves' revelation that the prince had not only survived the attack, but was still alive. The true heir to Falkyrie's throne if he lives, and the elves say he's alive. Liam looked down at his locked hands. Did they say who he was, or where? No, my lord. You too may call me Liam. Kiri wrote me some of your story. I've heard more. You are not so young as your years. I would prefer... Very well. Why didn't the elves tell me? Why didn't the elves tell anyone about